This episode of the RMR Training Podcast is brought to you by Resolute Coffee. So if you've heard of Resolute Coffee and you've wanted to give it a try, but you're not sure where to start, I'm going to break it down for you. So if you like your coffee to be like a straightforward coffee taste, chocolatey, what you know traditionally as coffee, something clean and nice, what you're going to want to look for is the processing, and it's going to be washed. Wash takes all of the fruit off of the bean, so you're left with just a straightforward coffee bean. And then you get those straightforward flavors. If that's what you're looking for, the Black Condor from Resolute is for you. If you want something a little bit more exotic, something a little bit more fruit forward, something a little bit more unexpected, something a little bit more of an adventure in your cup, then you want to look at that process, and natural is going to be probably the most fun type of cup. You're going to get a lot more fruit forward flavors. Natural leaves a lot of that fruit from the coffee on the bean, so when you get the, so when you make the actual coffee itself, you get some of those fruit flavors. The natural Ethiopian, that's the bomb here. If you want something, some sort of blend of both, there's a hybrid processing called a honey process, which leaves some of the fruit onto the coffee bean. So it's like a natural, like a half and half type of natural and washed processing. The Aponte honey or any honey processing is going to be awesome for you. Whichever one you go with, it's going to be top quality stuff. RR20 at checkout for 20% off. Or if you want to try them all, they have the, you can join the Crush It Club and you get a variety of 5 bags and a mug. So check that out. Link down in the show notes.
All right. MR Training Podcast today. we're missing Rich. It's just myself and Meg holding it down today. And I am not the least bit surprised that you were not ready for this. We said yesterday, we established
very
the time.
Typical. I'm like, what? No, we didn't. And then I literally had... Can send me the receipts of me confirming goddamn texts.
You might be the busiest person that I know.
You've ever met? Yeah, I know. I don't know how, I like never know how that happens either, because I feel like I optimistically wake up and I'm like, I have nothing going on today. And then the next thing I know, I'm doing 85 things. And I'm like, well, where did that come from? I don't. Mm-hmm. I literally don't understand.
I live a pretty busy lifestyle, not to your degree, but like, I think we thrive off of it, right? Like we wouldn't even be able to.
Absolutely.
Like anytime I get a rest day, I'm like, what the hell do I do with my time?
Literally. I don't know what to do when I'm not busy. And then somehow I find ways to make myself busy when I'm not busy. And then I'm like upset at how busy I am. Mm-hmm. It is such a conundrum. I thought that quitting my full-time job meant that I would have like way more time.
Oh no. Oh no, no, no.
Not the case. That I have somehow managed to find more things to keep me busy. I'm busier now than when I worked 8 to 9 hours a day in an office. Like, well, I don't know how that happened.
You pick up more coaching, more clients for coaching. You get more opportunities to travel and do
also
things
true.
That you typically wouldn't get to do.
Right. That's
know,
true.
Which is, it's a blessing really, you know, because I think we'd rather be living this lifestyle than the one you were living stuck behind a desk. You know,
I cannot explain how much happier of a person I am.
I was thinking that the other day when I was exploring some trails around here with the family the other day. And I was like, how cool is it that like I'm going to work right now? You know, like my work is to go run and I get to bring my family along with me and they get to also kind of just experience this with me. You know, I'm like, like it's like bring your family to work day every day if I want to.
Yep.
You know?
So. Yeah, it's, I mean, the same for me. Like, I had 2 workouts to hit yesterday, and I'm like, Mila, like, at 3 o'clock, we're going up to the gym to hit my second workout. And, you know, we were there for 2 hours, and she's running around doing her own thing, making her own workouts up, which is so cool to watch. And I can't wait for you to, I know Basin's already starting a little, but I can't wait for a few years from now when you get to experience this, because it feels so good to just watch them like do their own little thing and know that you are inspiring that. And it just like, even, and then she'll do something, she'll do two things, and then she'll run over and like color. And then the next thing I know, she's doing cartwheels down the turf, and then she's pushing the sled. And like, none of this is prompted by me at all. I'm doing mm-hmm. my whole thing, and I'm just kind of like watching this like from the side. And it's just, it's like a really neat feeling as a parent to kind of like see them starting to like gain interest
for sure
in things that you're doing.
My dad, I would say, pushed me in the direction of becoming a runner. Like, I wouldn't even say, I don't remember having a choice. It was, you're coming, this is what we're doing,
yeah.
and you're coming with me. And I wanted to make sure that I did not take that approach. I'm thankful that my dad did that for me, but I didn't want to put that on Basin. You know, if he wanted to be into what I'm doing, that's great, but I didn't want to pressure him or make him do it. But I'm already noticing the signs that like mm-hmm. he sees what I do on a daily basis, and he wants to do it. You know, like yesterday I did a workout here in the garage, which we can get into a workout of the week at some point. But
nice.
when I finished, I went down the street, and we have this nice like 200 meter like incline that is maybe like a 6 or 7% grade. And I finished with some strides up the street, and he would always want to start them with me at the bottom. And I would say, okay, like 3, 2, 1, go. And we would start, and you know, I'm still working. Right. So I can't just like, hold
you're
back.
Like, okay, so, I have to do these. Yeah.
And he would get so upset that I was like smoking him, like blowing the door. He's like, I can't keep up with daddy.
He's just a little competitive little 3-year-old already.
I know.
That's so cute.
He's so bad. But anyway, I've got a glass of wine here right now.
Good for you.
You know, so I'm going to.
I was drinking my electrolytes as I just finished a long run right before we popped on, and I was watching the women's Final Four game. Just watching Caitlin Clark.
Is it over?
Played terrible defense. No, she's great, but God, she is lazy. It's on right now.
So
they were at halftime.
So you're saying she's just like an offensive juggernaut.
She's 100% an offensive player. Yeah, she'll like, I mean, it's incredible. Like, she shoots from like 5 feet behind the 3-point line. Anyone who is listening to this, if you didn't know, I grew up playing basketball my whole life since I was about 5. So I'm a big basketball fan. And I was really upset because I went to UConn, and I don't even want to talk about that. But that was so frustrating that they got knocked out.
The men's team is still in there.
They are. But, you know, like the women and like Gino Auriemma, it's like such a legendary like thing. So I was hoping that like both teams would make it again. In 2011, when I was a sophomore, they both won the national championship. So I was like, how sick would it be if they like repeated that? But anyway,
UConn's
so she can shoot. She can UConn. Shoot from like 5 feet from the 3-point line, and it's like money all day.
Mm-hmm.
But she does not hustle back on defense. If the ball gets taken from her, she does not try to make a stop. Like, and maybe they're telling her that so she doesn't foul out. But at the same time, it's like, I don't like that. I was a big defensive, like, I wasn't always, if I was scoring a lot of points, it was because I was fast breaking, because I made plays happen. Like, I was scrappy. I'm sure no one is surprised by that. If you know me in like high rocks, and like, I'm just gritty. Like, I'm not the most talented, but like, I'm a grinder. I'm going to outwork everybody. That was kind of how I always was. So, I don't like people. When I watch people playing no D, I get like annoyed by that. Mm. But
well, since I live in South Carolina now,
you gotta be rooting.
Columbia is just right down the road from me.
Yeah.
An hour and a half. I love Caitlin Clark, but go Gamecocks.
Yeah, right.
Let's go.
So speaking of, your new home gym setup looks pretty sick, and you're right by a ton of trails.
Mm-hmm.
That's so nice. Like, I'm so happy for you and like your setup. It's just seems like such, it's got everything you need.
It's refreshing.
Yeah.
Honestly, like as much
as beginning.
Yeah. As much as I love Colorado, and maybe one day we go back, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this is exactly what I needed in my life right now. Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing is we moved here and then I got like a day and a half. And then yeah, I flew to Cyprus.
This was the craziest thing.
And Sarah was here unpacking all of our stuff. So I got home and the only thing really left to do was organize the gym, which
yeah,
has been a task in itself because I'm so OCD about everything has to have a place,
yeah,
you know? And with what we do in training, like, you know, the machines need to be near the treadmill. And like everything just has its place, right? So I've had to organize, take things out of the garage, move it back in, realize I don't like it, then take everything back out, move it back. So I've already moved things around like three different times and I've got like thousands of pounds of weights in here. So I'm yeah, like getting a workout in just yeah, by like moving say, shit around.
Have you but always like had that rack behind you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? I guess yeah, I didn't know where you had that before.
It was like hidden. It was hidden yeah, in the basement. So this gotcha, garage is like much, much more spacious than my basement at the other place. So it's nice. But again, I'm still feeling out. I've only done a few workouts in here. I'm still mm-hmm, feeling out the space. And I think once I get a feel for the space, I can like dial in where I want everything to be. But for now, I'm just like, just leave it alone, Ryan. Just it's okay.
Yeah.
And I've finally gotten an opportunity as well to explore some of the trails that are near here. I was looking forward to doing that. You know, growing up in Virginia, the Blue Ridge Mountains were always kind of just a few hours away, but I never explored them. I was always mm-hmm, like, let's get out west. Let's go to Colorado. Let's go to California. Yeah. So now that I'm here, I'm like, it's like everything's just brand new. Like any trail I go to, it's yeah, just brand new scenery. And I don't like, it's a new adventure around every corner. And it's just like really exciting for me.
I right feel now, like when you're exploring a new thing, especially with running, it like the run goes by so fast because you have no like concept of where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like really nice. Like I always love exploring a new run somewhere because then I feel like, oh my God, I just ran 8 miles and it felt like 2 minutes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But so that's
did,
really cool.
I did
and it
this
looks like Basin's having fun.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He's like super into,
he's just going to be just an like outdoor nature kid. Yeah.
Yeah. I did this run today and it was 7.6 miles was the trail. And it was like 2,500 feet of gain.
Oh, wow.
And it took me almost an hour and a half to do 7.5 miles. Just like with the terrain is much different too than Colorado. Yeah. Like it's very technical. A lot of places you're like ducking under branches or like mm-hmm, scrambling up like some rock face. So it just takes a little bit more time to maneuver through the terrain. But yeah, I was like, before I was like 7.5 miles, like 2,500, like maybe 70 to 80 minutes, you know,
yeah,
it took me like an hour and a half. I was like, man, but it's all good.
Yeah.
These are the days that are just good for my soul,
yeah,
you know, where I'm just like out in the mountains. I don't care how long it takes me. I'm just kind of enjoying my time out mm-hmm, there. You know, maybe I'm listening to music. Maybe I'm just listening to the sounds of nature.
Yeah.
And I also think for me, I think trail running, especially like trail running that has like a ton of vert, is like critical for me to reach my like maximum potential in high rocks.
Mm-hmm.
There's something that it does to obviously like engine building, but also just strengthening my lower body. Like,
yeah,
climbing up the hills, you know, you're working glutes, hammies, calves, quads. And then when you're bombing down the hill, you're building up your resistance to fatigue, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And I didn't get any of that in my last training block because it was winter time in Colorado. The trails are basically off limits, you know?
Right.
So now living here, it's like I have access to trails all year round. Like it doesn't really snow here. So,
and you're having a, your lifestyle is a little bit different in that Sarah is not going to be working. Mm-hmm. So you have the extra set of hands. Cause I know for you, even though you were home with Basin, with his nap schedule and things, like you were on a pretty tight training schedule. Like if it didn't happen within that 2 hours, like it had to wait or whatever. So it's nice that now you have a little more leeway with that and can go get that stuff done. And I feel that way too. I'm lucky because Mila's in school. So from 8:30 to almost 4, I can do whatever I need to do, wherever I need to do it, which has been really freeing for me. And it just, I think, just makes things mentally easier. You're not like wondering like, or worried like, oh God, like I haven't done any hill running at all, or I'm always limited to the treadmill because the weather's terrible and I can't bring my 8-year-old to the track in the pouring rain.
Right.
You know, like, and that was me for a really long time. So it's nice when you can have that little bit of that peace mentally, like out, you know, where you're like questioning whether things are enough, you know.
What will you do when the summer hits, when like she'll be home all the time?
Yeah, so really it'll be just in a way she's been so flexible. She's so easy now. Like I can take her to the gym. She knows the rules. Like she's so funny. Like if I'm lifting and I'm in the middle of a set, like she knows not to talk. Like she'll come over and be like wait till I rack the bar and then ask the question. Yesterday I was doing my Hyrox workout and I was almost done. I was finishing up like 200 meter pharma carry. And then I had right into a 2-minute run. And she was talking to me and I'm like trying to answer. And you know, like you're doing the farmer's carry, you're trying to do them fast. You're bracing your core. You're trying to breathe. I'm trying to talk. I was like, you got to wait like 3 more minutes. You know, I'm almost done. I just have to finish this 2-minute run. But my parents are right here. So if I need to go, like today, I needed to do a long run. So she came over here. She was riding her bike. She has a couple neighborhood friends down the street from my parents' house. So they were playing outside and I got to go do my 90-minute long run. So I'm lucky I have them. Or if she's at her dad's, then I try to strategically plan my workouts for the days that I know she will be over there. That way, if I need to hit a really long Hyrox session, because by the time you do warm up, cool down, the whole thing, it's like at minimum 2 hours.
For sure.
You know, if you're doing a full Hyrox type workout. So, but then in the summer, it's nice because we change our training a little bit. I can do a lot in the garage. I'll pull all my stuff out into the driveway because it's so nice in New York in the summertime. And I do a lot outside. And then she can just hang at the house. So it's not like as stressful because we're not in season at that point. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of finagle things a little bit easier.
Yeah.
But, and I put her in a lot of camps because we can't just be sitting home all month, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that it was so nice seeing you in Cyprus and feeling like you are more you again after everything that you've gone through and the move and just all the stress that you had on your plate. And I know that we had talked and you were kind of like a little bit dreading the Cyprus trip just because of the timing. So for anyone who didn't know, Kent literally drove across the country, was in his new house for a day and a half, and then flew to Cyprus. So like he had a lot happening in that week. But I can feel that you are a lot more like yourself again. Like you're peppier, you're happier, you know what I mean? And that's, I can see the motivation coming back for the working out and the training.
That's actually a great segue
hugely
into we can talk about camp. I think we should at least touch on it a little bit, but, like you said, I wasn't really looking forward to that trip all that much, just because of the timing. It wasn't that I didn't think that I was going to have a great time or
right
or whatever. It was just like, I'm already stretched so thin.
Right.
And now I've got to travel across the world with for this thing that I've already committed to. I've got to follow through. And that's what I did. And honest to God, it was like exactly what I needed, you know, mm-hmm. like the moment I got there, I was like, oh, okay. Like this, it is beautiful here.
Yeah.
I'm around other like-minded people who, you know, I felt like I was very open in the very beginning of the camp when we had the introductions and I told them, you know, about my father passing away and how it's been a struggle. And, you know, this camp is exactly what I needed, you know, to kind of get me out of the rut that I've been in. And I got to tell you, there were so many amazing people at that camp that I feel like I leaned on to, kind of get me into a better place. And yeah, like I'm back here in the States, like I feel revived again.
Yep. I think it's a nice reminder how valued you are in our community. Like you made people's day just, and we both did, and Alex did, and Luke and everybody. But at the same time, like, I think for you and just being, knowing you and being like an observer, it's like, it's nice to see you remembering that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And seeing the interactions and people telling you that, because you know that deep down, right? But when things are hard and life is hard and things don't seem fair and it's sad and you're hurting, it's hard to remember those things sometimes that like you mean things to other people. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. So for me as your friend, it was nice to like see the spark again. And I think some of the interactions like gave you that spark again. And that was just really nice because obviously I care about you. So
yeah.
And it's hard. I mean, what you've gone through is really hard and it's a lot of life changes and you're trying to be a dad and a husband and a full-time athlete and you're moving and you had some family crisis stuff going on and it's like, real life keeps happening regardless of what you're doing, regardless of what you're training for. It doesn't matter. So it's hard. And it's hard to remind yourself sometimes that we're just humans. We're just humans, you know, and we have this super high expectation of ourselves to be able to overcome and perform well no matter what and all of that. And it's like sometimes you just can't, you know, and that's a good reminder in mm-hmm. some ways, mm-hmm. you know?
And I could tell after DC that I needed mostly a mental and partly physical break as well. Mm-hmm. And for how long has it been since DC? A month? Maybe more?
Yeah.
Like
that's it? God, that feels like 4 months ago.
I took about a week off completely, and then I could tell I needed to find the love for training mm-hmm. again. You know, like I didn't want any structure in my training. It was more just kind of like wake up, decide if I even want to work out that day, and then if I do, what do I feel like doing?
Yeah,
I feel like running, lifting, machines, combination of all these, like. And normally I never allow myself to have that freedom in training because it's always just, you know, so structured. And then going to the camp and being able to hop into whatever anyone was doing was just like so freeing. And it made me, mm-hmm. it made me fall in love with training again.
Yeah.
You know, because
me too.
You know, normally we stick, at least for me, I stick to the plan. You always get on me for that.
Okay.
You
know, Kent sticks to his plan. Like I am so much more flexible in my training than Ryan Kent. He is like, that's not in my plan. I'm not doing it. that's not on my plan. Nope, that's not on my plan. You know, he's, and in a way, that's a really good thing about you, because when you're dialed in, like, you're really dialed in. And I'm a little more like, I'll do that, sure. And then I'm doing probably too many things. You know what I mean? But.
And I'm realizing that I need to be open to that a little bit more, you know, because it keeps training fun.
Exactly. It's sometimes more for the mental side than it is even for the physical side. It's just like, I started doing CrossFit when I started doing Hyrox. I never did CrossFit before that. People, I think I did for like years. The week after DC, I went to CrossFit every day, 5 days in a row. And the reason was I just wanted to do something different. I wanted to show up and have someone else tell me what to do for once. And that was just a mental little break that I needed. And it was doing something different. Probably still helps in my Hyrox training. You know, we're still doing a lot of like high-end capacity work, but it's working on different skills, like totally different work. You know, I learned how to snatch that week for the first time with a barbell. Never had done that in my life. Sometimes you need that in training. And I think with Hyrox in particular, what I see is people just do the same things so repeatedly, and you have to keep it fresh or you're just going to get bored, you know? And I think there's a great time and place to explore different avenues of training and different stimulus too.
Definitely.
So yeah, the camp was so fun because it was we were coaching some sessions, but we were able to, we had so much freedom even as coaches that we were able to jump into other sessions led by the other coaches. And I learned so much. We had Anna there who was like a world-class indoor rower. And she at one point had the world record in like the 2000 meter and 3000 meter ski.
I thought 2K row like and then 30 minute ski. But
something insane. Yeah. And like, she gave us so many good pointers on the ergs, like so helpful, so much more efficient. Like I was doing like one little thing. I was I forget what she called it, but like she
fixed
that.
You weren't catching the flywheel at the right time.
Yes. And like, she literally just made one tiny adjustment. And I've been literally my row and ski paces have been significantly faster since. Like, I did a full sim yesterday and I was rowing easily in 153. Like, I was like, wow, okay. You know what I mean? Like, just tiny little things. So it was really, really cool to get to work with some of these other coaches as well.
Definitely.
Real quick, and we did so many fun workouts.
We should plug that camp, by the way. It's happening again in November for, I think, 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
3 weeks. So
as of right now, we will be there for all 3 weeks.
Unless there's a Hyrox major.
Until we find out when the first major. Yeah. Yeah.
And then we won't be there that week, but we'll be there the other two.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Just a great time. Again, I'm so thankful that Luke invited us out there for that. And I'm so glad that I went. And, but now we're back home. We're back to reality. For now. 'Cause we're going to freaking Cologne, this
week.
In a few days. So we're getting plenty of international travel under our belt.
Yes, we are.
Which is going to be helpful, I think, with you know, a lot of these big races being overseas. So we're getting
absolutely
tons of experience.
Every time we travel, I feel like even us going to Cyprus and our conversations about like, okay, how many days did it take you to like feel great after we got there? Just all of those experiences help us going forward, learning how to compete overseas, because as the sport continues to grow and get bigger and bigger, like these races matter more and more. And so we need to lock that in. You know, we have to get that dialed and know exactly what we need to do every single time. And I think, you know, I know for me, like I've been kind of experimenting with it. Like, okay, 2 days before, 3 days before, a week before, And I'm starting to really understand my body and how it adapts. So that's really helpful. And then this weekend, even though I'm racing a women's pro doubles, I'm still giving myself a few days to just kind of acclimate. And again, it's like another trial. This is a race that doesn't necessarily mean a ton. It'll be a lot of fun. And obviously, I think, you know, Linda and I are trying to go for the record.
Also, but at doing
the
end a relay. Of the
day, like, and we're doing a relay. Yes. Kent, me, Luke, and Linda. So two Americans, two Germans linking up. We have two of the fastest ever mixed doubles teams coming together. If you recall, on the day Kent and I set the record in the mixed doubles, Linda and Luke were also going for that record. So it's going to be really fun. It's going to be, I'm a little scared almost. Like, am I ready for this? Am I fit in for this?
I think I went over what I think the plan should be for our team in terms of who takes what. But yeah. I think we need to talk to Luke and Linda and make sure they're on board.
We might need to make some adjustments, but we have a pretty good plan so far. So it's going to be fun. I can't wait. I love races like this because I think when
there's no pressure at all,
there's no pressure. It's fun. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes with like the only races besides our mixed doubles, and then I did the mixed doubles with Benny, they've all been pressure situations. Like there are not, oftentimes we don't get to race to just like have fun. It's like there's money on the line, there's placing on the line, there's qualification on the line. Like it's, and we live for that. But at the same time, it's nice to be reminded like why we started this in the first place. And that was just because we loved doing this race.
It's fun. It's fun.
So yeah. I like these moments.
Same. Let me ask you, so you are coming off of a loss, right?
Yeah.
In DC.
Oh, yeah. Don't remind me. Just kidding.
No, it's good to be reminded. It's good because it's honestly, it's fueling the shit out of me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like I'm as hungry as I've ever been.
Here's the thing about, I think you and I is very similar. We both came into this season not happy by the way we performed at our world championship last year. And we came in with a vengeance. And I can just say, I need to lose sometimes. I really do, because that fuels my fire like no other. I just hit a huge workout yesterday, and there are these moments I'll have where a workout that I know is super hard, and if I feel like I crushed it, like I'm like, yeah, I'm Megan fucking Jacoby. Like, mm-hmm. don't you forget it. And it's to me, it's not to anyone else. It's like, don't you forget who you are and what you've done and what you're capable of. And I think sometimes you lose and you have that question in your head where you're like, am I really even like, am I her? You know? And for me, it's like when I am super confident about my training, this is going to sound conceited, but there's nobody that can take me. When I am 100% confident in what I've done and I come into a race with that utmost confidence, I am a force to be reckoned with. And so for me, it's like, I'm like feeling that way again. And I'm back to like having that feeling. And mm-hmm. that's a good feeling.
Yeah. I mean, I think most people who have those, the performances.
And it's hard. It's really hard to have that edge all the time. And that's something I'm learning. Like, this is my first, like, or this is my second full season in this. And even last year, like having like a season under my belt, like there was so much I was learning. So much I was learning about myself as an athlete.
Oh no, Meg's freezing. Meg, come on back. All right, well, we'll give her a minute. In the meantime, like she was saying, you know, I think most people can lose a lot of their confidence and belief in themselves if all of a sudden they're having like these results that aren't up to their standards. They can lose their confidence. But, you know, for somebody like myself and Meg, really it just motivates us even more. It's not like we lose any confidence at all. If anything, it's like we want to get back out there and prove that, you know, we are who we think we are. And, you know, a lot of the confidence that we get comes from, like Meg was saying, comes from training. You know, if you put in the work and you're seeing the numbers in the gym and in your workouts, like that confidence comes from your training. Let me add Megan back in here. Okay, you're back.
Okay, we're back.
Yes, I was just saying how like
comes from training.
Yeah, you know, like, and most people can lose their confidence after a bad race or two, but like, I could finish dead freaking last in like 10 straight races and I will still show up to the next race thinking I'm going to win.
Believing you can win. Yeah, 100%. 100%. And I think when you don't, if you're unable to do that and think that, you might want to reevaluate, because that's, if you lose that belief in yourself, like that's really hard to to keep performing without that like true deep down belief in yourself, you know.
That's when being that's when, like, you know, being stubborn, which I am, is like,
yep, helps, right?
It's yeah, it helps big time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I'm so stubborn that even when I want to just like fall off the back, like I won't. I will like just grit my teeth and fight so hard, you know what I mean? And I like, I hate that I'm doing it, but I'm too stubborn not to. So, but at the same time, like, you need to do that, you know? It's a good skill to have.
Where are you at? So we are, for me, this is week one of a 10-week block into Nice. Where are you at with your training right now?
Yeah. So I was kind of like starting to ramp things up right before Cyprus. So my running mileage has been pretty stable and I've been hitting like some good running workouts, but I wasn't doing like any compromised runs at all, just more like threshold runs before Cyprus. So this week was the first time I had hit like both a big threshold workout and also a big compromised Hyrox running type workout. So that's, it's like kind of week one with that for me. And that's where like, I will do 1 to 2, just threshold runs and then a compromised run every week, basically going forward. I try to give myself at least 2 days in between, depending, just because if you're not hitting like that intensity that you need to be hitting, like, I'm not sure at this point, like, you're really benefiting from it, especially at our level. So I kind of give myself 2 days between like those really high end, running workouts. And that's been working really well for me. So going to keep that going.
I usually, and that's that, I think I talked about this the last episode, like that's the standard kind of running protocol. Like, you go hard.
Yeah.
Tuesday, Friday, or Wednesday, Saturday, you're allowing at least 2 days, maybe 3 days in between. But with hybrid training, if you plan it right, like, you can get away with a little bit more intensity. And that's something that I'm coming around to, because coming from a running background, I'm always extremely cautious about how much intensity that I do. And maybe that's me being a little bit closed-minded in my approach, because this isn't just running anymore.
Right.
You know? And we're doing other modalities. And what I'm doing right now is I'm going hard 3 days a week. I'm going Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So my normal Tuesday, Saturday run sessions, But in the middle, Thursday, so I get one easy day Wednesday, one easy day Friday. But my Thursday session is on the ergs.
Yeah.
Ski erg or rower or something. And I'm fine. Like, this was my first week of doing it. And it was fine. Like,
yeah,
I felt great. Like, the ergs, sure, it was, you know, a little bit taxing, but like, I took no damage whatsoever from it. And I'm also doing some like overspeed training on my Tuesday track days. Like, I did like 200s and 400s this past week, and it felt very weird running that fast, running like 30 second 200s and like 65 second quarters. I'm like, but that's what I need. I can feel like, if I want to go out with these guys that first K and keep up, like, I have to get faster, and I need to start with the basics first. Mm-hmm. I need to start with twos and fours, and then I can build up to fours and eights and so on and so forth. And then, you know, my Saturday session yesterday was more thresholdy, you know, 15 minute interval, 10 minute interval, 5 minute interval. So I'm still touching on that aspect of things, and then splitting the week with those machine workouts. I'm looking forward, like, it's a brand new way of training for me that I don't really know what results are going to come from it. Whereas like in the past, I repeat things and I more or less kind of know like how something's going to feel, because I've done that workout before, and it takes a lot of the guessing out of it. And I'm not so sure that that's actually the best thing to do. If you've already done something and you know what to expect, like, you're like, I just don't think you're going to get the same benefits. And it took a little bit of, you know, like, you know, falling on my face a little bit to realize that. So this training block, I'm like, man, I have no idea who I'm going to become at the end of it. You know, I could completely be overtrained and just have nothing, or I could be an absolute machine, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. And for me, that's like, it's actually really exciting. And it's like motivating for me every single day to like train, because I've never like taken this approach before. So
yeah, I'm doing similar things this year just because I love the long grindy stuff. And so I know I need to get out of my comfort zone with that. So like, doing the shorter, higher end workouts, you know, that's a new stimulus. And in the past, I would kind of shy away from that more just because it hurts in a different way. It hurts in a way I don't really like hurting. Now I'm learning to love that hurt. But last year, like, if you were to tell me, okay, do this 24 minute EMOM, you're going to die the whole time, but it'll be over in 24 minutes. I'd be like, I'd rather do a full high rock sim instead. You know what I mean? And like, that's what I would like opt more to do. But in a similar way, it's like, you, when you get to a certain level as an athlete, to keep raising that bar, you have to do different things, or you're just going to kind of stay in that same spot. And it's hard to move that needle.
Like, to get something you've never had, you gotta be willing to
do something you've never done. Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I've actually taken a lot of that out of you. Like, I've taken some of that from you at camp in the summertime. We did a lot of that style work where it was like E2 moms or E3 moms, but we would do like three things in 3 minutes, and whatever your time was left, like, that was it. You know, that was your rest. And so it forces you to go harder because you're like, holy shit, if I have to do 12 cals on all three machines and I only have like 3 minutes, like, that's not really very much. And with transition. So I like doing that type of stuff. The athletic camp was nice because we did work with people that probably coming from maybe a little bit less of the like true endurance side of things. So they're more like better at the really high intensity, like lower volume stuff. So it was so good for me to get teamed up with some of these guys and have to be like fighting with them next. Like I'm competing on the ergs with them. I'm 5'7", 140 pounds. They're literally 6'2", 220. And I'm on the skier next to them. Mm-hmm. And I like, it pushes me to a whole different level. So that was really, really good for me. And that's one of the reasons I like training with big men like that, because you guys, I can't touch you guys on the row, but I'm going to damn well try. So that's pushing me beyond my normal limits that I would probably unintentionally put on myself, you know?
I mean, I think we touched on this, you know, last week, that like when we were doing those like ski erg and row workout, like you, me, and Alex that one time,
we
like,
went all
we
out.
All like afterwards, we're like, we did those at least 5 seconds faster per 500 than what we would do if we were like back home
by ourselves. Now. Yep. Yep.
So, and for me, it was like eye opening to see Alex kind of in his element.
Yeah.
You know, like I've always respected him, but I've never seen just kind of like the work he puts in on a daily basis. And, you know, he does a lot of intensity. And
he does.
Before coming to the camp in Cyprus, I had already made the decision that I need to do more intensity, some way, shape, or form. How am I going to do it? I'm not 100% sure, but I've got to figure it out. And after going to Cyprus and seeing him work, I was like, and then realizing that he'll sometimes go and do intensity days like 3 days in a row and then just chill for a day and then go hard for another 2 days and then have a rest day every single week. Mm-hmm. And it was just great for me to see that, because, or at least like confirmed for me that like I need to be doing like more intensity. Like the way that I was training was great, and it will get me to a level that will be able to contend at any race. But if I want to win a world title, like we've got to up the ante.
Yeah.
We've got to start really pushing the limits, pushing the boundaries. And after that week with him and everyone else, I was like, yeah, like let's fucking go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
yeah, for sure. It's the game. It's getting, everyone is getting good. Everybody is getting stronger. And again, when you start to get to that, I mean, I feel like for me, this year has been very different, because, you know, I came in and I was PRing like constantly, and I've PR'd
you
like one time this year.
Very early.
I set the bar very high, very soon. And so this is like a different thing now, because other people are not at their bar. So you see other athletes that you compete with PRing, and you're not PRing, because in fairness, I'm already 6 minutes ahead. You know what I mean? So it's
right
when you start to get to your ceiling, but you're still seeing other people, you know, get pushing their ceiling, but you can't quite push yours that much. That's kind of hard to deal with sometimes. So it's every year it's a little bit different, and it's a little bit different, and you learn a little bit more, and you learn a little bit more about yourself, and you have to accept that, like, if I'm going to see a PR, it's not going to be happening every race, you know? Mm-hmm. That's just not the way it is anymore. So
something I'm having to like, I don't know if this is a getting older thing or just like I've been competing for almost all of my life, that I'm just at a place now where I'm having trouble. Like if the race doesn't mean something, I'm having trouble like getting up for that race.
Yeah.
So I think to some degree, like after winning Chicago and qualifying for Worlds, you know, the only dangling carrot for me at the rest of the majors was try to make some coin.
Yeah.
Right. And for me, that's not enough. That's not enough.
Yeah.
And we, you know, I had some other things going on, obviously, but like we saw what happened. But yeah. Now that Worlds is kind of like lingering, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, now this is the Super Bowl.
You know?
And now I'm having that excitement about training that I had kind of leading into Chicago, because now I know that this is all or nothing.
Yeah.
Now there's no second world championship in 3 weeks after that. Like this is it. You only get one per year.
Yep.
You know, so you better make the most of it. So
we are not going to feel the way we felt last year.
No,
we are not doing that again.
I know one thing, I'm not getting caught.
Yes.
By at two the wall people balls. On the wall balls.
Yeah.
Like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Your boy's been for doing sure. thrusters.
Hell yeah.
And fuck the wall balls. We're doing thrusters.
All day.
Let's get into a workout of the week. And
okay.
I'm sure you have like 10.
I do. I'm going to share the one that Rich and I did yesterday, because he was driving through my hood Friday. I mean, so Rich was out here, his family's from this area, or not too far away from me. So, he was driving through, so he swung in and we did some running stuff, but then it was pretty cool. We did like a E3 mom, 1 minute in between. You had to hit 500 meter ski into sled pull or
so, wait. Was it like 2 minutes of work, 1 minute rest?
So it was 3 minutes of work, but you would do an erg into a station. In that, you had to finish that in 3 minutes, and then you had a 60-second break. Okay. So you'd hit 500 meter ski, or we did 25 cal assault or echo bike. Mm-hmm. And then it was we did really heavy backward sled drag. And then we actually did hand over hand sled pull. So not moving your legs like high rocks, but like really blowing up the arms. Mm-hmm. And then the backward sled drag, which we've talked about many times, a great substitution for sled pull training. If you don't have access to like a good rope, but you want to get that kind of like leg fatigue from especially the quads. This is something that I incorporate in my like leg day stuff a lot. So we did that, and we did 4 rounds of each. And I'll tell you what, assault bike into a heavy sled drag, that is no joke. Like, that sucked.
There's not much worse than like assault bike into something.
Into anything, but especially a leg dominant exercise. Mm. So I really liked the stimulus of that. And again, like for me on the ergs, like I have to work a lot harder to get that 500 done, you know, and still have enough time to get like the sled pull or whatever. Same with the assault bike than like you guys do. So it's always good for me to work out with one of you, because, you know, you on the echo bike, like I can't come close to that. So like I was working, you know, so it was good. So that's my workout of the week by me and Rich.
Nice.
Yeah. I will say I recover a lot quicker than him though.
I mean, you just do, you probably do a third of more volume.
Yeah.
Than Rich.
For sure. For sure.
Rich is a little baby. He's getting old too.
He's not even here to defend himself.
Nope. That's why we can just talk shit.
All right.
And cuss if we want to.
And sore.
We don't have. That's right. So for me, I'm not actually doing any Hyrox specific workouts just yet. Like my running is separate. My ergs are separate, and my stations are like in an EMOM format. So mm-hmm. I haven't gotten to the point in my training where I'm like combining all of these things. So I'm going to give my Tuesday workout, which was the overspeed training. It was only 3 miles of total volume, but all of it was at like almost like my 1 mile all out pace.
Yeah.
So
that
I did.
Disgusting.
It was 6 rounds of 2x200, 1x400. So you do 200 meters at basically a little faster than your mile pace, rest 30 seconds. And then you do another 200 meters at a little faster than your mile pace, rest 30 seconds, and then you do a 400 at the same pace that you were doing the 200s. And then after the 400, you get a 400 meter jog, and then you start your second round of 200, rest, 200, 400, and then you get the 400. So it was six rounds of that, and holy shit. Like after the first round, like I was like, oh, this isn't so bad. And then after the second round, I was like, oh, this is going to be tough. And then after the third round, I was like, I might not finish this workout. Like, it was getting so hard, but that's what I wanted. I wanted to feel that lactic acid just like building up, you know, the feeling when like you're on the home stretch of, of an 800
and
meter.
And your knees are buckling because you just sent it so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So it was, it ended up being, you know, 35 minutes of work. And I got to say, like, with each round, my heart rate just kind of like just kept going up and up. And by the end, I was definitely in zone five.
Yeah.
Which is an area that I think a lot of us typically don't even like enter, but that's a place that I need to spend some time in. I need to get comfortable in that toxic zone, which honestly made my session yesterday of like threshold doing just like 5:30 pace. I was like, oh, this is comfortable.
Yeah.
You know? So that was my workout. I know some of my one-on-one clients that I work with, I gave them that same workout and they were like, yo, I'm like, are you trying to kill us? Like, what's going on?
I had the same response. The compromise workout I did today or this week, yesterday, I scaled it a little bit back for my clients, but everybody's comments were like, this was nasty. Like, I hate you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I like to give myself sometimes, this has helped me a lot in my HYREX workouts where I do blocks where I get a little bit of rest in between blocks. And it just allows you to really push the intensity on the runs way more. Because you can mentally know, like, okay, I just have a 3-minute run and then I get a whole minute like rest, you know? And for me, like, I can like fight through that knowing I have a little bit of rest coming up. So it was kind of one of those.
Yeah.
And it was pretty dirty. So
real quick, I also did this thruster EMOM. It was just, it was 10 minutes. That was it. And I did eight thrusters every minute on the minute. And that got gnarly.
This is like a Meg workout. That is a Meg work. That's got my name written all over it.
I got it.
How heavy were you going?
Not super heavy. It was like 115.
That's not nothing.
So I had like 35 pound plates on the side. So
I like that.
Boys just trying to make those wall balls get a little bit easier.
Yep. You need it. We all need it. Well, the men need it. You guys, it's your race gets so close there sometimes that it's like it's a key spot. It's a key spot.
Yep.
For sure.
So we're working on weaknesses, also working on strengths.
Yep.
And we're gonna be ready to roll.
Ready to roll. So next weekend, we are in Cologne, Germany. Yes. We will probably try to make a pod happen. The three of us. I haven't been on in like weeks. I'm back.
When's the last time we were all three together?
I don't know. It's been a minute. It's been a minute.
Because Rich did a solo. Then he did one with
our
Mila
Italian
and Luca.
Friends.
Yeah. And then I think it might
have. You boys. I haven't been on. This is like my first in 4 weeks.
Slacking.
I know. Sorry, y'all. I've been jet setting around.
That's right. Well, we appreciate y'all listening. If you are in Cologne, come holler at us.
Come say
hi. We would love to meet you. And ESN
will be having a HYREX workout set up at Cologne. So you will probably find me there. I will be there Thursday and Friday. So if you're in the venue and you're around the festival, you will probably find me there doing something. But yes, stop by, go check out the ESN booth stuff. They are going to have a massive setup there. So you'll see us around that. if you are there. I'm sure many of you will be there. It is, the more I've talked about it, the more people have told me they're going. So even Americans.
It's like the biggest event all
year. Yeah. So it's really, really cool. We're going to see a lot of friends, a lot of fun, familiar faces. So let's fun. Go.
Yeah. Another trip across the pond.
Another trip.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you next week.